Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, hey, welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, great to have you with me as we start a new week broadcasting live statewide over the summer state, as I like to call it, our beautiful state of Wisconsin. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Conrad, how are we doing?
I'm doing good.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I had one of those weekends where I just did nothing.
Wow. I swear I heard you say the exact same thing last Monday.
Nah.
No? No. Okay.
Last week, Monday, I had some friends come visit me. This weekend, I just, went to a movie, and then I also watched some movies at home as well. But yeah, just kind of relaxed around my apartment.
Nice. That's a great weekend. Yeah, it was fun. This was like the first weekend, I would say, this summer where I didn't have a whole lot going on. My daughter was in a play. I went to see that. That was fun. But aside from that, it was just kind of bumming around, walking through the neighborhood, talking to some neighbors, heading to the water for a little bit. Just a great summer weekend with not too much going on. I hope you had a great weekend wherever you're joining us from tonight. We are broadcasting live from City Deck Landing tonight at our beautiful WGBW studios. And summer, you know what's weird? The Hall of Fame game is this weekend, and preseason football starts right. I feel like summer's over. Isn't that weird? And just like back to school stuff already? Not already. I mean, it is right around the corner, but you literally get like 4 weeks of summer before you're reminded what's right around the corner. It's weird. We got a great show tonight. I'm very excited. Years ago, when I was promoting a film I made called The Godfather of Green Bay, this PR company put together a little press tour, and I got to travel around and promote the film. And one of the stops I made was at WGN in Chicago, and I was on WGN radio on the Steve Cochran show. And I think I was on Steve's show one other time, maybe promoting a stand-up gig, but always, just really always loved Steve's demeanor and the way he hosts. It's like not even hosting. He's just being Steve, and you're there kind of in his orbit. And that was his approach to radio. And I just always thought that was cool, even before I ever had anything to do with radio. So Steve is kind of between gigs right now. I think he's trying to look for what he's going to do next in life. I'm sure he has many options, but he is kind enough to stop by tonight at 7:35 and have a discussion about radio and where he's been, some of his experiences. That will be fun. He's kind of a radio legend, at least in Chicago. And at 8:20, comedian Zane Lamprey joins us. Tell us what Zane is up to, Conrad. He's got some Wisconsin stuff going on.
Yeah, he's on his Great Lakes part of his tour right now. He's on a national tour, but right now he's doing the Great Lakes. So yeah, he'll be around at 8:20 to talk about what he's gonna do for those shows.
And he's kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
he travels all over the country, obviously, all over the world, and he does a lot of shows in breweries. So I have some questions. I'm sure he's successful at that because he seems like he's kind of a connoisseur of beer and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like a fun environment to do comedy in. But I think that's an interesting approach. I'm excited to talk to Zane about how he does that and how he likes it. So there you go. 7:35, Steve Cochran, 8:20. Laughter at 20 after, as they say, with Zane Lamprey. He's here in, is he in Wisconsin right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he's in Madison, right? But he's going to be in Green Bay, I think, tomorrow.
Yep.
Where is he playing? Do we know? A brewery, right?
Maybe Titletown? I can't remember. I believe he's at the Badger Brewery tonight.
Okay.
And then I believe he might be at Titletown tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll have to check on that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll find out. We'll ask the man himself when he's here. There are birthdays today, and this is interesting because I was a guest on Mino and the Mayor this morning, but there was no Mino. There was an empty chair. And I shed a tear because it was Jim Schmidt. It was Schmidt flying solo, holding down the fort while John had to scoot off to a TV appearance. Pretty important guy, Conrad. I don't know if you knew that. He's got an acting certificate, and he makes television appearances in addition to being on the radio every day, does One John Mino. So in talking to Jim this morning, Amanda chimed in and said it was Will Wheaton's birthday. Do you know who Will Wheaton is, Conrad?
Yeah, I know him from Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang, right.
But his dad was someone, right?
Oh, that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But Amanda said he's like a very unlikable character. Was he on Big Bang?
Yes, he was, but he kind of is like, I forget, because he plays some character that just doesn't like Sheldon, really. But okay. Sheldon's like in love with him pretty much because he's a good actor in the movie, in the show.
Gotcha. All right, so because of that, Amanda said, you should do your question of the night. We do it every night here. Your question of the night should be most unlikable TV character. And I thought that was great. I don't think we've done that yet. So we'll do that tonight. That's our question tonight in honor of Will Wheaton's birthday, who I don't know. I don't even know if I would find him unlikable, but I'm trusting Amanda, our fellow employee here at WGBW, with tonight's question. So there it is, folks. Who is your least favorite TV character? Start us off, somebody. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We are back on the air, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new week, a new opportunity to talk about movies and color television and music and comedy and all kinds of stuff. We've got a little bit of all of it tonight. I was talking about this with my wife earlier, and this is not going to be a popular answer, but one of my least favorite TV characters was Hawkeye Pierce on the last like 5 years of MASH. I found him to be obnoxious, just imitating Groucho Marx. And then at times he would get very, you know, look, nobody's pro-war, but he would get so preachy. It's supposed to be a sitcom. And it was fun. Like, the first 4 years of MASH were great with McLean Stevenson and Trapper and Frank Burns. And they still got their anti-war message in. But the last 5 years of that show got so preachy and so hard to watch, in my opinion. Even as a kid, it's like a 10-year-old kid, I'm like, this is too much. So I don't know if he's like my least favorite, but he's on the list. The other one I would say is Banya from Seinfeld. Pretty unlikable. And my wife said one, and I can't remember hers now. Do you have one, Conrad?
For sure, Joffrey from Game of Thrones is definitely the worst.
Oh, that came up too.
Definitely the worst.
But who is Joffrey again?
He's the king, the king's son. When the king dies, he takes over, and he's the mad king. He's the worst.
Is he the one that castrates?
Yes. Yeah.
Here's how much I got sucked into that show. I know it's just a good friend of mine just drove by outside. I got kind of excited. I haven't seen him in years. That's crazy. He's also very unlikable, but was never on a sitcom. Here's how bad that show was. Okay. Whenever they would, he was the guy, he called him Reek, right?
That's not Joffrey. That is Ramsay Bolton.
Who's Joffrey?
Joffrey's the king's son.
Yeah, that's who this guy was, I thought.
He's
with the dogs. He would release the dogs on people.
Ramsay, I believe, is also a king's son as well.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember too much about Ramsay, but Joffrey is the mad king, pretty much. Takes over and pretty much kills a lot of people.
I watched Game of Thrones all like what, 6 seasons? 7 seasons?
Yes.
In about 2.5 days.
Wow, you
I was ambitious. Wow. It's a blur, honest to God. I remember the Red Wedding and
that's a memorable scene.
Una Chaplin, who I fell in love with on that show, she was his fiance, who is Charlie Chaplin's great granddaughter, which I thought was cool. Anyway, I don't remember much about it. It was just kind of a blur. The Dragon Woman and Ned. I remember some first name, some last name.
So Ned Stark actually is
Ned
the one.
Stark. That's
he dies from Joffrey.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's pretty unlikable.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. We got you guys started. Let us know who you think is your least favorite TV character of all time. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Let's get the discussion rolling here. We saw, I have to say, before I get into things I watched this weekend, what is the matter with people? I'm serious. Like, I know that's a vague question, but I'm at the film Long Legs, all right, in the theater. I passed up going to see Deadpool because I haven't seen the first two Deadpools. I'm not a Marvel guy to begin with, but I would have gone. There was a group from our neighborhood that went. I should have maybe gone, but I wanted to at least see one of the prequels. And I don't care really about superhero movies all that much. So I go to see Long Legs, which I've wanted to see for a while. It got good reviews. Nicolas Cage is in it. It's done very well at the box office for how much they spent on it. I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
If I had to take a guess, right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Boundaries. You've got 150 seats calling your name. You know what would have been weirder is if they sat right behind me during a creepy movie.
Or if they just sat... Actually, right, they split up and put you in the middle.
That wouldn't have happened. I would have started throwing hands. That would have just been... I would have thought it was like a
prank.
Well, a prank, or I was getting whacked or something. You know, that's just bizarre. Going to pull a Maury on me from the back seat or something. So that was weird. Okay, next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down in the end. I'm being courteous. I'm giving the next person that comes in lots of options. So where do you think this person came in and saddled up?
The one right next to you?
Not right next to me. The one, but enough where it was weird. You know, we're not finished with this. Honest to God, what are you doing? My wife's like, well, it's easier to talk to people. I don't want to talk to someone. Wife,
yeah.
I don't want to look. I don't want to talk. Let's just do what we came in there to do and get out of there. No harm, no foul.
You're supposed to be at opposite ends.
Opposite, I agree. Or go one in from the very end just to make it seem like, okay, I'm not totally weird. Made me mad. We have more on this coming up. We'll talk Twisters, Deadpool, and Long Legs. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Steve Cochran's here at 7:35. Great to have you with me. Robert from McFarland checks in right away on the stream, says least likable character. Joffrey, help me with the last name, Conrad. Baratheon? Barathon? Baratheon?
That's pretty close.
I remember it. I just can't say it. I don't remember. I remember Joffrey more than anything.
Yeah, Joffrey is the name that I feel like any Game of Thrones fans can be like, yeah, don't like them.
Right. I don't like him, and I didn't like the other one, the one who castrated... the dude. And every time he's on the screen, I would wince. It was just so horrible knowing what happened to this guy.
I hated hearing Reek every single time.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
And that guy, he died a pretty, you know, karmic death, wouldn't you say?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, his own dogs, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Robert says, my next one would be Miguel Prado, Jimmy Smith's character in Dexter. I don't know Dexter. I have to watch Dexter. Sorry, Robert. I'm not versed in that, but I have enough respect for you as a human being and a texter to know that you are probably right on point. Have you seen Dexter, Conrad?
I haven't. Yeah. My dad has, though.
My dad, too. That's weird. He got into it. Robert says, Jimmy Smits? From NYPD Blue? I think Jimmy Smits is pretty likable. Maybe that's a misprint. Or maybe Robert had a thing with Jimmy Smits we don't know about. Please share, Robert. Sheila Rosenberg checking in on the stream. Ernest T. Bass on the Andy Griffith Show is my least favorite. I always skip episodes when he's a main character. And then she says, I may have misunderstood the question. No, that sounds about right. Sheila, I think, It doesn't have to be like you despise the person either. It could just be like, oh God, not this again. Like with me with the Sopranos, it was whenever the mom or sister were on camera, primarily the mom, because the sister could be funny. Oh, it was hard to watch. And I didn't hate her. I didn't hate the character. I thought it was essential to the story. And the actress was great. But I would almost want to fast forward through those scenes. So, all right, we're off to a good start there. So you saw Deadpool, Conrad.
I did, yeah. I saw it on Saturday.
And Wolverine.
Yeah. It was great. It was a lot of... just the start of it, I was like focused so hard already because it was so funny. The intro was hilarious. And it just keeps going. Comedy in it is great. It's a fun movie. And it does, like, it will, I think, lead into the next movie in the Marvel pretty well.
Well, you think you're going to make another one?
Of Deadpool? They probably could.
Of course they will.
Yeah.
They'll find a way. They're just cash cows. I mean, yeah. 211. It's shattered the R-rated opening for a movie.
It was hilarious.
Mean, that's insane. My friend told me, he's like, you got to go. Come on. Because, you know, my son, his son, a couple dads, a couple other kids went. And I just wasn't feeling it. And I really wanted to see Longleg. So I was like at a movie with them in the same complex. But I'm like, what's the difference? We're not talking during the movie anyway. But he said he compared Deadpool and Wolverine to an episode of Family Guy from a humor standpoint. Does that track?
Yeah, really? I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's hilarious. It's just leading up to it, you do got to see the first two, definitely.
I do.
You got to see them before you. Because just the beginning is like, how did he even get there? And you won't know unless you watch the first two.
Okay. Well, I definitely will. I do. I have to see what all the hype is about. And that's what this show has kind of done. I feel like I have to see this and see what the fuss is about. Because if I wasn't doing Nightlight like 2 years ago, I probably would just keep not seeing Marvel films. But now I'm like, this is what people are talking about. I kind of feel like obligated to see it.
There's some stuff in there that, like, if you're a hardcore Marvel fan, like I am, you'll definitely be, like, when I saw some characters come back, I, like, almost stood up.
Really?
It was great.
That sounds like an incredible nerd moment.
I had it. I had that nerd moment.
You know what? One time, about 8 years ago, I don't know what the Star Wars film was that came out, but it was at the old Perry Cinema in Marinette. It's now called the Mariner. And I went with a group to see it, and we're all standing in the doorway. And people had garb on and fake lightsabers, and it was just like, and that's Marinette was constantly, like, you're really getting into it. I wish I could remember which film it was. But I stood in the doorway, and I said to my friends and the kids, I said, look at all the nerds. And right as I said that, the noise level from the screen died down, and everybody heard me say it. And you know what? They all cracked up. I was like, oh, this is so awesome. Like, they're just having fun. It was really cool. But I will see that. I did see Twisters. I liked it. I thought, you know, for whatever reason, there has to be some kind of sexual tension in a big studio film. There has to be a love interest. And I don't think this film needed it, but to its credit, they kind of downplayed it a little bit. The second it started to get hokey, they would pull back from it. And I was fine with that. And yeah, it was good. The effects are incredible. I don't ever go to see films for special effects. But having said that, these were really, really incredible. And they gave you a lot of tornadoes. There were some horrifying deaths, even though they don't get graphic. People just getting sucked into tornadoes. I can't tell if that's a great way to go or a terrible way to go. It's like Death by Great America ride to the 10th power. Or your body just splits in two from the centrifugal force. I have no idea.
Hopefully you never find out.
I hope not. I typically tend to avoid tornadoes whenever possible. But I did like it. It's definitely it's a great summer popcorn film. And who's this? I'm totally blanking on the star. Glenn Farrington. No, not Farrington. Glenn, what's this dude's name? Glenn Powell. He is the biggest thing in Hollywood right now. And I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I like him. Because he just, I don't know. You know, I know he was in that movie with Sidney Sweeney. What
This is your girlfriend, remember?
Sydney, well, my ex, Conrad.
Oh, sorry.
Don't get me in trouble. not that into you? What is it? I don't know.
Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney, yeah. But the movie the two of them did, everybody kept going to see it over and over. It was supposedly a bad movie.
I didn't like it.
The kids loved it. Was it bad or was it just boring or what?
I just didn't like the acting in it, to be honest. But I just thought something like that could never.
Yeah.
But I guess the story behind it, too, was kind of, I don't know.
I really liked him in Hitman on Netflix. Yes. He was good. He was kind of this nerdy guy. And he looks kind of nerdy. Like, he's a handsome guy, but he's got some range. I just can't figure out, like, is the... I like that nerd element about him. Like, in Twisters, he's kind of the stud guy. And I'm like, I kind of don't buy that. Like, he's, like, got this built body and everything, but, like, he just kind of looks a little geeky. It's weird. And there's a charm in that, but him looking like the... whatever. Don't listen to me.
You know what I wanted to talk about was, when did popcorn buckets become $13 for a small?
Oh, but you can bring it back in and refill it, right? You seen those people carrying their tubs into the movie theater every time?
I've seen that, yeah. But I can't believe it costs more money to get just a popcorn and a soda than the actual movie ticket.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like fine cuisine either. You're paying $25 just popcorn. For bad popcorn and high fructose corn syrup.
Stale popcorn that's been in there.
And you've already spent money. You don't even know if you're going to like the movie yet. Yeah, they should comp you the food if the movie is bad. Let's start that. That's memo worthy, don't you think?
I think so.
All right. So, but the nice thing too, Twisters, it's nice to see that storm chasers are good looking. They were all good looking. There were no ugly storm chasers. I can appreciate that. All right. Steve Cochran is coming up next at 7:35. I cannot wait to talk to Steve. He's like a radio legend and just a good dude. So we'll have that discussion next after award-winning news here at Civic Media. Great to have you with me. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Call your name, but every time it comes out the same. Seen her dressed in blue. Robert from McFarlane clarifies, not Jimmy Smith. It was Jimmy Smits played the character in Dexter. Okay. I guess I would know that if I was familiar with the show Dexter. Thank you for clarifying that, Robert. Question tonight, who's your least favorite TV character? Let us know. Join the fun. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. All right. Comedian Zane Lamprey coming up at 8:20. We'll talk to Zane about his date here in Green Bay tomorrow. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I was a guest years ago on his show at WGN Radio in Chicago, and he's just a guy who I've always admired and thought was just great at what he did. And he is a radio legend and joins me tonight on Nightlight. Steve Cochran is here. Hey, Steve.
Hey, buddy. It's been too long. What, did I offend you?
Oh, no. Well, you keep leaving places and then turning up, and I don't never know where to track you down.
You know, it's funny you say that because you mentioned GN. That was two firings ago.
Steve,
so, but,
what,
you know, it happens. It happens.
Okay, so what did it, like, you don't have to go into too much detail, but, like.
I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Tell me everything, because I don't understand how someone, and I know I'm totally ass-kissing here, but I really, like. Just listening to you over the years, and I'm just going to say this for people who haven't heard Steve, I wouldn't even know how to say your style. You're just like this guy in the stratosphere doing this show that's not even really a show. It's just like things are in your orbit. You're so calm when you bring them up, whether it's President Carter or Pete Schwabba, who made an independent film.
Look, here's the deal. And again, whether you've heard the show or not, I was calling it, and I believe this to be true, though I think you would be included in this, the last sane talk show in America. Because everybody's sold out. Everybody's lost their minds. Belief and true belief, are a thing of the past.
Yeah.
What's going to make you money? And you and I both know there's a couple of comics, and I can't name either one or I would, but there's a couple of comics who really weren't known who suddenly decided, you know what, I'm a really angry right-wing nut job. Oh, and now they got a million followers, and suddenly they're an influencer. So it's that kind of BS that I've never been able to take, and I can't take now. And you're seeing it with this vice presidential running mate to Trump,
right.
J.D. Vance. I mean, selling out. I don't get it. So how do you get fired 11 times? You never sell out.
Well, good for you. Honest to God, I don't know. When right-wing talk radio started, or at least when I became aware of it, it was the very early 90s. And I was like, well, this will never last. You can't, anger's not a sustainable, oh man, yeah, was I wrong? I can't believe here we are years later. Is that what it is? Are people chasing money, Steve? Or is it real?
That's what it is.
True political ideology?
There, I mean, so obviously there's some people on the far right who truly believe it. And occasionally, War of 1812, and, you know, a couple of years back, you know, they'll invade the Capitol. but the fact of the matter is, there are lots of people, you know, and I know, yeah, who are too smart to be that dumb and are willing to tear America down for their own personal gain. And, you know, they'll be, I'm a spiritual guy. You're going to have to explain that at the end of your life. But in the meantime, they make everything worse. And the problem with WLS that I just left was apparently that I was making too much money, which is hilarious considering how much money I was making. But the company Cumulus, which is one of the big radio companies in the country, continued to cut and cut and cut. Wall Street says they'll probably be in bankruptcy again. And they decided, well, we can't afford you. Well, the other piece is they wanted to go wall to wall with these right-wing lunatics. Mm-hmm. And I grew up mostly a Republican. And right. I voted mostly a Republican for a long time. And it's that old cliche. I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me.
Right.
And, you know, I don't believe in everything on the far left. I'm not progressive. You know, I go down the middle. I pick both sides, depending on who the candidate is.
Sure.
And this country is in deep, deep, deep trouble because people aren't paying attention. And we live in this time, which I think is the most selfish time we've ever seen, where people are making their choices based on what's going to make them feel good, whether they have any facts behind those choices or not.
It's really strange. You talked about, like, I knew several people who became influencers, as you say, and once in a while they'll pop up on my feed and I'm like, God, I know this guy. I went to open mics with this guy. I did stand up or acting with this guy. And I see what they're saying. And these people are saying, yeah, right on, right on. You got, oh my God. And I'm like, he's a comedian.
Like, right.
And that's fine if you're entertained, but and what drives me crazy is when they switch, like you said, to the other side of the aisle, because that's where the money is, Steve.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Democrat radio never made any money. Left side radio never made any money. MSNBC makes some money in spots, but nothing close to what Fox makes. But when your product is dependent on fear, which is what Fox does, and fear is what makes you money. I've said this to elected reps of all sizes, from Mitch McConnell all the way down to congressmen who you wouldn't know. And I've said, how do you look at your grandchildren? How do you look at your wives, your husbands, your daughters, your sons, when they go, what are you doing?
Right.
How could you support Orange Julius Caesar? First off, I've known Donald Trump since the 80s. He's an idiot. He was an idiot then. He's an idiot now. He is unqualified to take a tour of the White House, let alone sit in the Oval Office. He is undeniably dumb, and he has no interest in the job. He has no interest in learning the job. This is why when he got elected in 16, he had a really strong cabinet. He had some really talented people around him. All of those people are gone. Not one of them is endorsing him. Not one of them will be a part of this. And if this lunatic gets elected with nothing to keep him, forget about pardoning himself, with no rules and nothing, and not being able to run again, he can, this is not hyperbole, boys and girls, he can destroy this country.
Right. Yeah, it's scary. I mean, and I'll be honest, we got off on this, and it's, I don't usually talk politics on this show, but I will say I did notice, Steve, that at the convention, you don't see any of the older Republicans there. You don't even see people from his last term. What does that tell you? I have, and you talk about family members. I had a family member who's younger than me, and I never know how to handle that. Like, I'm not going to give them a talking to. They're not my kid, whatever. But if they're going to spout about a certain news organization and say they're the only ones that tell the truth, and there's this weird discomfort in the room, I want to say, you know, they got sued for $1 billion and had to admit they lied to their followers.
Right.
They admitted it.
Right.
You know, anyway.
It's like these two separate universes that this country has never had to live in before. But again, I'll get out of the dark side here because I don't like the dark side any more than you do. And we both come from allegedly being funny. And I know you are and still are. And I think I am occasionally. But let me just say this last, because this is true.
Yeah.
I love history. I'm a history buff. And at the ripe old age of 63, my wife will catch me watching the History Channel, and it'll be some Hitler thing or World War II. She goes, does this one end different? Because I'm pretty sure they all end the same way. And but I'll say, you know, when it comes down to history, every great dynasty eventually commits suicide and it goes away. And if you think America's immune to that, you missed the memo. So don't be sitting around watching The Bachelor, watching, you know, I flipped this house or that house.
Kardashians.
You got to pay attention. You got to vote. Turnout kills. You have to vote. All right, I'm done.
I'll even take the last word because everything you say makes me want to keep going, even though I shouldn't, and just say, I was comforted by checks and balances at one point, but apparently you can just do away with that too. So anyway, So let's talk. This is funny. I thought this was when I was promoting a film I made years ago. I was a guest on your show. That was when you guys had the big window on Michigan Avenue. My parents were with me, and my dad was walking around outside the window. He had like this pith helmet on. He's very fair skinned, and he said, "Check out this guy in the hat." And I said, "That's my dad." And he said, "Oh, it looks like he's about to take someone out." And I think he heard that because you guys used to broadcast onto the street, right?
Yeah, and there was a mic there that, you know, I could talk to people on the street.
Oh, and great.
We pulled a bunch of great guests. Well, as a matter of fact, right next door when Jesse Ventura was governor, he and I go back to KDWB in the early 90s. And he used to bring his son down because his son liked the show. And we got to be golf buddies. Well, Jesse gets elected governor. The next morning, I call him to congratulate him. And this is what I hear. Oh, Stevie, what did I get myself into? And then 6 months, 8 months later, whatever, he shows up, you know, in Minneapolis, and there's 10 guys with him, and they sort of make a half circle around him, and he comes up to the window trying to get my attention, and he pulls his shirt up and rubs his belly on a window. Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Ventura.
Governor Ventura.
So that studio was phenomenal. But yeah. your dad with the pith helmet was the least of our worries.
Yeah, he's pretty harmless for the most part. My guest is Steve Cochran. He is a radio personality who has been all over the place, had a great career. Steve, what do you think you'll do next? I mean, you're kind of in between gigs again. Where do you want to go?
I met your owner, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago.
Sage, yeah.
And they had a chance to tell him how cool it is, I think, what he's trying to do. Westwood One is a big syndication company, as you know, and we had what amounted to a handshake deal to do what amounted to a moderate talk show, which would be the things you do at night, the things I always did, you know, the full scope of entertainment, right?
Sure.
Kind of the broader version of The Daily Show for the radio with no budget. But Westwood was going to do it. And I think what Sage has been trying to do is super smart. You know, you got to have local journalism and local media, and to do that with the morning shows around the state of Wisconsin, and then, you know, have a network where you can do these other things is great. And I hope it continues. So civic media, I think, is the last best hope for radio, because radio in general, it's unrecognizable. You need the dental records to try to find it, because it's just off the charts bad. It's gone the same path as record companies and newspapers, radio now, local TV next. It's not good because you do need local journalism. You do need local media. You need local opinions. And it's going away. So what am I going to do? I don't know. I'm back on the pole, you know, the senior division. I've got to stretch first. Don't forget, paper cuts are painful. No, I've got a couple things that SiriusXM is interested in something that we may do, which could be fun. But I'm not sure I'm ever going to be on regular radio again, and that's a sad statement to make.
Oh, that is sad. That's terrible. So you've interviewed, you know, over the course of your career, such cool people. I watched part of an interview you did with Jimmy Carter yesterday. Who's the coolest person you've ever interviewed?
Well, a lot of civilians, actually. You know, those are the amazing people. But no, President Carter was amazing.
Yeah,
he was. And incredible. We got to be friends from a distance, but he came in probably five different times.
You made him laugh. In the interview I saw, you made Jimmy Carter laugh, and I think that's really remarkable.
Yeah, not bad with Secret Service with you know, weapons in the room. But he was an amazing guy. I mean, you know, inarguably or unarguably, what's the word? As my English teacher spins in her grave. You know, it didn't get it done as president. And a lot of people blocking the way, but there's nobody that'll ever match his post-presidential record ever. I mean, the stuff he's done for humanity is amazing. So he was great. But honestly, the bigger names, the people you hope would be great are great. Tom Hanks is a phenomenal guy.
Oh, nice.
Just a great guest. Bob Saget was a pal and a phenomenal guy. I mean, you know, yeah. I've been lucky to talk to just about everybody. Now, Robert Goulet, if you're old enough to remember that name, is an ass.
How come? And, what happened? You got a story?
He wanted to. Yeah, he came in drunk one morning and didn't want to play along, and he threatened to punch me.
Oh, that's
and
so
I said,
great.
Well, you know, it's not normally how we do interviews, but he was a bad guy. But there's very few really bad guests, and the people that surround the biggest names, those people are the ones that are usually the pain. The guests are pretty great. So I've been lucky. I have to talk to everybody, I think.
It's funny that you say that about Carter, his post-presidency. That's kind of how I judge presidents, is what they do after they leave office.
Right.
And I think, for me, that's my criteria. But, all right, Steve Cochran is my guest. He is a Chicago radio legend. We'll see where he ends up next. And, Steve, when we come back, I want to ask you what you're watching on TV and if you've seen any of the amazing summer blockbusters and possibly about your radio influences. So we'll do that next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night edition of Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay in the state of summer. My guest is Steve Cochran. He is a longtime WGN radio host in Chicago and WLS as well, and has spent most of his career
everywhere. I mean, I could tell you all 25 of them, but that'd be the end of the interview.
Who are your influences, Steve, when you were growing up? Like, who did you listen to when you said, I want to do what this guy does?
Well, I mean, WLS, you know, with Lou Jack and John Landecker, who became a friend over the years, those were a big deal. Don Imus in New York, unpleasant man, but I liked him as a kid. But, you know, I was always about Carson and Letterman and just came up through that. And that's how I got into stand-up and in radio and TV when I had more hair and, you know, a little bit of movie stuff here and there. The cool thing about my movie career is, you could see an entire Steve Cochran film festival and see all five of my parts in movies, and you'd still have 57 minutes left of that hour.
We're going to get into that because I saw that you were in Grumpy Old Men, so I want to ask you about that. But I will say, and maybe what I was trying to say earlier is there are some guys, I have no idea what your life is like but when you're away from the microphone, but like Letterman, you said, Carson.
Yeah.
Like they're more... at ease, it seems like, on their set in front of a microphone, maybe than in their own home. You know what I mean? Like, that is what they were absolutely born to do. So that doesn't surprise me that you say that, because you can kind of hear that when you would host. You just seem like that was your element. Was it your element in Grumpy Old Men?
Grumpy Old Men was cool. I was doing stand-up, and a casting agent in Minneapolis said, do you want to come in for this? And I had done a couple of movies prior to that and with a different casting agency. So I go in and I read, and the director said, yeah, no, we want you to do this. He said, would you be willing to ad lib your part? Now, this is way before Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's like 92. And we went to Channel 4 in Minneapolis, and they taught me how to use a green screen. Back then, I think it was fairly primitive. Gas powered, and Yeah, they let me just ad lib it. But I gotta tell you, I was on that movie set for a couple of weeks. Jack Lemmon, who really was a big star before my time, but Jack Lemmon is one of the coolest people I've ever met.
Oh, thank God you said that. I thought you were gonna go the other direction.
No, he's great. Unbelievable. That's so unbelievable. Great. And that cast included Anne Margaret, who she was probably about 52, 53 at the time, and I would have been 29 or 30. And she was stop a room hot. It was ridiculous. Man. Daryl Hannah was dating JFK Jr. He visited her one day. Wow. And I went up to JFK Jr. and said, "Do you get tired of people thinking you're me? It's got to be a drag." Kevin Pollak was part of that,
Kevin's
that
great.
Crew as well. And Walter Matthau and Burgess Meredith. And the funny thing about Burgess Meredith is pushing 90 at that point. Every day that I met Burgess Meredith, it was the first time. "Hey, kid, you in this picture?" "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I am." But that was such a cool experience. And movie sets are ridiculous. And the way they pamper even the two-line guys are ridiculous. Yeah. But it was a blast.
But the everyone you just mentioned is a legend. Like, it wasn't like you were in a movie with one star. They've all opened films before and were all icons. Like, that's a pretty good win.
Yeah, and again, I the Jack Lemmon thing, it made me go back and watch the movies, like The Apartment and things I hadn't seen. Yeah. He was just phenomenal. He wanted to do was talk about his son, Chris, and how great a piano player Chris was. And Chris had a show on NBC for a short while that he was excited about. Oh, I'll tell you a quick Jack Lemmon story.
Yeah.
Anne Margaret walks in on the set, and she's stunning. And I'm this 29-year-old punk, and all I want to do is impress Jack Lemmon and make him laugh. And I said, "Well, Jack, I don't know if there's a Cooperstown for boobs, but if there is, they'll be pounding out a plaque to her right now." And he starts laughing really loud. And he smacks me on the arm. He goes, "You got to tell Annie. Annie, come here.
Oh, my gosh."
So he brings over Anne Margaret and repeats the joke. I'm sure I was, you know, as red as I was at 13 when a girl was talking to me. And she leaned over, kissed me on the cheek and said, "Oh, you're cute." And you could see the power that she had in that moment over JFK, over Elvis, and over a schlub like me. She was just 100% female from a time that's much different than now. And she was the greatest.
She was great. I mean, I was kind of in orbit around her just when I remember when HBO first came out, picking sleep overnights at a neighborhood buddy's house where three or four of us would sleep over based on what R-rated movies were playing that night because he had HBO.
Right, right.
And Carnal Knowledge was like, I just loved watching her talk even. She was just gorgeous and
incredibly sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually a very good actress.
Excellent.
But, you know, you never could get by how beautiful she was to give her the credits that was due.
Well, we did date for a while, Steve, and she had her quirks. But
did she? Was she difficult? Hey, are you still doing stand-up?
I'm not really. I'll do it like if a friend of mine calls and wants me to open for him just to get out and do it and hang out with comics. I mean, when I left LA, that was the biggest thing I missed was just hanging around comics. And I say thank God for Facebook because it's a great way for me to keep in touch. I like it for that reason. But are you?
Yeah, I am actually. Yeah. And I've probably done more in the last couple of years. But, you know, it doesn't go with a morning show schedule. But I was probably doing 6 to 10 shows a year. And I'll probably do at least that in the next few months.
Okay.
And we always did a New Year's Eve show. It was New Year's Eve for people that couldn't stay awake until midnight. And we're doing two this New Year's Eve. One is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, I love that. Where is that going to be?
These are in Crystal Lake, Illinois, almost to the Wisconsin border.
Okay.
And at the Rao Theater, which is great. But I do a podcast called Live from My Office. If you go to CochranShow.com, they're all there.
I love it.
I'm lucky. I've had a nice run and I'm not done yet. We'll just figure out what next is.
Well, next time, hopefully there'll be a next time you come back and we can just name drop and talk about fun stories when we've met celebrities. Cause I love doing that with other people. So it doesn't sound like you're name dropping. Cause I know you have just as many as I do. So we could just share the wealth. That would be fun.
It'd be a blast.
Yeah.
No, it'd be a blast. No, I appreciate you having me on, bud.
No, this is fun.
I think we're going to be on stage together too. So maybe we work that out.
Oh, absolutely. I've got your phone number now. So you're doomed.
No.
Okay, buddy.
Well, go Pack. We know how it's going to go with the Packers and the Bears, so just beat them twice and get it over with.
I try not to get into that. I'm on an island up here, but yeah, we'll talk. All right, buddy. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Steve, for having me on.
You got it. That's Steve Cochran, former WGN morning radio host and a radio icon. Conrad.
Yeah?
You got some clips ready, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
Vacation.
All righty, buddy. We'll do that. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Award-winning news coming your way next. Stay tuned, folks. I was feeling all right. I'm with my boys. I'm with my troops here. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groove.